The U.S. military opens combat positions to women. Oh, my God, we're getting some rights. Red flag up, FIFA. 16 officials of FIFA indicted on charges of just being assholes. And Kobe Bryant is at peace with his retirement, and so am I. This is Sports Without Balls.
Holy cow!
A perfect score. 10.2.
He had to the 2-0, now the 2-1. Line drive!
Hello again, everyone. This is
Sports Without Balls. Dun, 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 dun. Sports Without Balls, fans, friends, family. How are we? Happy post-Thanksgiving. We're kicking off the holiday season. I love the holidays, just so I can simply say to people, happy holidays, instead of, hey, what are you up to? And then it gets real awkward. No one likes eye contact. So I am all in with the holidays. We're just going to call these next 4 or 5 episodes holiday episodes because I don't care. And I love them so much. We have a fantastic episode today. We have a repeat guest, and she should be on so much more. This is going to be the kickoff season to having her on so much more. She is the host of Morning Score on the Universal Broadcast Network. Please welcome Erica Davis.
Hi.
Yay.
I mean, can I get a round of applause?
Yay.
Okay, thank you.
We are in the All Things Comedy studio, as we are every week, and a huge thank you. This is a huge holiday season of giving thanks. So I am incredibly thankful to All Things Comedy for hosting this podcast on their amazing website. They do all kinds of great podcasts and stand-up specials. And every week, I'm very lucky and thankful to have Aaron in the booth.
Go Cards.
Aaron!
Go Cards!
Go Cards.
We'll have the baseball's heating up. And, you know, we're going to do it. We'll dabble. Maybe we'll dabble. But basically, Erica, you don't know this, but this is the first season I played fantasy baseball. And these podcasts became way too baseball heavy because I was obsessed and I couldn't stop. But now we are in the middle of a football season, of a basketball season, women's, men's. We've got the Major League Soccer finals, Columbus versus Portland on Sunday. Of course, I'm going to watch that.
Got hockey.
We got hockey, and I don't even watch enough hockey. I start watching hockey January, February.
Yeah, that's
maybe
about
even
that, yeah.
February. I keep my eye on my teams, and basically, and then I get into it, and then. Then I can't
then whatever.
Stop.
Wait, who are your hockey teams?
Well, it's the Rangers from birth.
Oh, duh.
But then, yeah. You know, it's kind of weird to say, but
go
I don't,
Kings, go.
I don't like anything LA, but I have a little kinship with the Kings.
Go Kings, go.
It's kind of fun. It feels harmless because I didn't grow up hating them. You know what I mean?
True.
So, but listen, you.
What up?
First of all, you're like a 4-team, 5-sport threat.
Yeah, but this is true. And people always say, you know, what's your sport? Like, you know, what do you like? I'm like, well, I can like more than one thing at a time.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you. That's an excellent point, Erica.
You know, people, like, I love when people get on, like, social media. This is kind of off topic, but kind of. In the same vein, people be like, "Well, how can you pray for Paris? You got to pray for Nigeria and Kenya too." I'm like, "You can pray for more than one country at one time."
Oh my God, that's hilarious!
I can like more than one sport at one time.
Yeah, I'm constantly not praying, but respect people's love of prayer, and I'm watching too many things.
And we'll talk about prayer in a second. When we talk about college football.
Yes, we will. We're going actually right into college football because I loved having you on as a guest. First of all, you just know sports, which is so awesome, and you're so easy to talk to, and also because. I always have this, like, I wouldn't say like jealousy, but I think it's so awesome when people come from big football programs, big basketball programs, schools with like huge sports, mm-hmm. which I didn't go to. I went to a nerd fest, liberal arts D3 college. and you are a graduate of the University of Georgia.
Graduate of the University of Georgia, go dogs, sick'em. I double majored in broadcast journalism and political science, and now I'm in Los Angeles just dicking around.
Which is awesome. So I know we talked about this, and all you people who become immediate Erica Davis fans, there is an episode, and finally, this is all due to my negligence. The Sports Without Balls website is live. It's up. It's actually been up for a couple weeks, and I forgot to announce it.
I had no idea.
After threatening for what feels like a year. It's sportswithoutballshow.com. Sportswithoutballshow.com. I'll post it everywhere. I'll even, You did something on Snapchat. Maybe I'll put it on Snapchat, even though I'm not. I don't even know what Snapchat
is. I asked Erin if she was on Snapchat, guys, and she was like, I don't know what it is. I guess I'm not. So we got to get her on Snapchat, and we got to get her on Periscope, too.
Wait. All right. So I know Periscope, but what is Snapchat again?
Snapchat literally takes 10-second moments of your life, and those 10-second moments of your life live publicly or privately on your account for 24 hours. That's really it. It can be 10-second videos, or it can be a 10-second picture, or it can be less than 10 seconds, but up to 10 seconds.
Up to 10 seconds.
24 hours.
Listen, I'm sure people enjoy this. That sounded like another nightmare that I'm forced to do because I'm supposed to. I guess it's just me. I guess it would be if I did a Snapchat, and we'll talk about this later in the episode. A new segment called You're Killing Me. My Snapchat would be screaming at the New York Giants going, are you you're kidding?
Yeah.
The whole, whatever. You know what? We're going to do that later. We're going to start positive.
Yes. Well,
we're going to start positive.
I can't promise you any positivity, but I will try to go with
listen,
the
we're going to try to be positive. what I've been getting into more and more college football because I have a problem. And so I remember talking to you about the Georgia Bulldogs. So now I have a little kinship to Georgia.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Did I not say it right? They are Bulldogs, right?
Oh, no, you're
okay,
right.
Good. I almost was like, oh, God.
I'm just gasping because there's so much going on.
So much going on.
So, yeah. So
let's talk. First of all, before we get into like picks and games and matchups and stuff, University of Georgia just dumped their they said mutual, whatever.
Fired.
He got canned.
Yes.
What's his name again? Now I'm
Coach Mark Richt. Richt has been there since 2001, so 15 years. And he and our athletic association mutually parted ways, mutually, quote unquote, air quotes, parted ways. And within the span of four to five days, we fired him. And he has already taken a new coaching job at the University of Miami Hurricanes. And we have a new coach, a coach in waiting. Well, he's a new coach. He just hasn't announced it yet.
Oh, so you guys have is it the interim coach?
Actually not. The interim coach is one of my schoolmates, but that's another story. Our actual coach will be Kirby Smart from the University of Alabama. He is a Nick Saban protege.
He's been the defensive coordinator. Right.
But
okay.
Kirby Smart was a safety at the University of Georgia from 95 to 98, and he coached under Coach Richt as, I want to say, a running backs coach for 1 year.
Oh.
So he never played under Coach Richt because when Coach Richt came, Kirby was already graduated. I think he was at Florida State getting his graduate degree at that point. But he did work under Coach Richt, and now he is coming back to Athens to take Mark's job.
Okay, so first of all,
okay,
I love a lady that's so well-informed, and I'm already so happy. I'm also chugging a cold brew because I mistakenly had a couple too many beers after my holiday show.
In a Starbucks cup, well, a coffee bean cup or clear.
No, it's actually my local guy. I just recycle coffee. I don't even know what I'm talking about. What do you call the coffee sleeves? Anyway, here's the point.
Okay.
How do you feel about, here's a couple questions.
Okay.
How do you feel about Richt, is that how you pronounce it?
Yep. Richt, like the Richter scale.
Okay. How do you feel about Richter scale leaving?
I have mixed emotions.
Okay.
Coach Richt, in his tenure at the University of Georgia, has had one of the best. No, he is the winningest coach at UGA. And of all active Division I coaches, he, I want to say, is the fourth on the list of winningest coaches who are active. But he's also been there for 15 years. And the reason I have mixed emotions is because Coach Richt is such a good Christian guy. I'm going to get to that in a second. He's a good Christian guy with great morals, ethics, values. He is the guy that you want to send your sons to play under. He's a guy who's going to sit, you know, in a living room with a parent, with a mother, and say, I'm going to take care of your son. I'm going to make sure he doesn't get in trouble. And he really does mean it. And he follows through not only on the field, but he helps all of his players pursue their post-playing pursuits, whether it's NFL or whether it's, I don't know, teaching or whatever
may
be. As a man, great man. As a coach, he has underachieved when it comes to getting the University of Georgia football program over the hump. A lot of Richt apologists will say, oh, he's the winningest coach in Georgia football history, and he has a 75% 75% win percentage, which sounds good, but you got to think in the SEC, because our in-conference games are so tough, we play a lot of freaking cupcake games.
Yeah.
So a lot of those wins are the University of Louisiana Monroes or the Georgia Southerns or the teams that basically get a big payout to play us.
Yeah.
The cupcakes, the donuts. So you're padding his win percentage with games that don't even really count. But when it comes to beating the Bamas when they're ranked seventh, or when it comes to, you know, winning an SEC championship when you're supposed to be the beast of the East, because we're the SEC East, we fail miserably time after time after time.
Yeah.
In 2002, Coach Richt, we did win an SEC championship under Richt, but a lot of those recruits and players were the previous coach's recruits and players.
Gotcha.
Then we won in 2005, those should have been all his recruits. We lost the SEC championship in 2012 to Alabama, and that was the year that Bama went on to beat Notre Dame in the championship. So
killed them. God, that game wasn't even close. It was embarrassing.
Yeah. And considering that there have been, I think, 7 BCS SEC schools in the past 8 years, and it's never been us, that's a problem. And considering the East is really weak and we have not come out of the East as frequently as we should have, that's a problem.
Yeah.
We just lose big games. Like, we lose big games. And
I think it's good for Georgia.
I think so, too. And here's the thing. Okay. Here's the thing, Aaron, and everyone listening. Coach Richt is a good man, has not gotten us over the hump. A lot of people keep saying, oh, we should have given him a couple more years to work with, you know, the new recruits. We have the top quarterback coming out of, you know, the Pacific Northwest, Jacob Eason. Understand that under Richt's tenure, we did not recruit Cam Newton. He's from Atlanta. We did not recruit Deshaun Watson, who is the quarterback of the Clemson Tigers, mm-hmm. who are the number one team in the country right now.
He's
fun to watch. We have flubbed on some big-armed, strong, mobile quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Now, at Georgia, we play a pro-style offense. And so the argument is, why would we get a Cam Newton? Why would we get a Nick Marshall from Auburn? Why would we get a Deshaun Watson? They don't fit into our scheme. Well, we've been playing the same kind of offense since 1980, which when is the last time, coincidentally, we won a national championship was 1980. So there's a huge disconnect.
Yeah.
And if you read the University of Georgia message boards, people who support Richt, they keep going back to Christian values. And I'm like, listen, I'm a good Christian girl, too. What about all the atheists out there?
Yeah.
Who don't care about Christianity.
Yeah.
It's like, it comes down.
You can be a nice dude and also win.
You can!
Because at the end of the day, University of Georgia wants to win.
Thank you.
All these teams want to win.
Thank you.
Money alone.
Yeah, Aaron.
Is the hugest factor. I don't think it's, and everyone always says that, like, nice guy, nice guy. And also, I was watching First Take. Sometimes I watch First Take until they annoy me, and then I shut it off. But they're both smart and interesting, and I actually really like both of them, but sometimes it just gets a little whiny. But Stephen A. Smith made a really good point this morning, and he was saying that the lack of diversity for African-American coaches is gross and horrifying. And then also, so Richt gets fired, right?
Yep.
3 days later, University of Miami hires him, and Richt has got basically no real big wins under his belt.
He doesn't have any.
You can't go through at least a vetting process of, like, I'm not saying, like, you have to hire a black dude.
True.
But I do think that's a really valid point of, like, you're giving, like, a nice white guy a chance. Who doesn't have a winning record, really? I mean, he does, but he doesn't.
He has a winning record on paper.
But not SEC championships and national championships.
No national championships, not even an appearance in the national championship game. So to Stephen A's point, okay, first of all, I support Stephen A's point. But in this case, Mark Richt is a University of Miami alum.
So I get that.
That's his home base.
Yeah.
So I get why they would want to bring their boy home. And he does traditionally do well with recruiting players out of the state of Florida. But yeah, like, guys, it's really interesting. And I look at my Facebook feed and I have a lot of classmates. Obviously, I went to Georgia, so a lot of my classmates are football players.
Yeah.
And I see so many of them saying, oh, I'm going to be a Hurricane now. I support the Hurricanes. I'm like, okay, well, how about you just go to the Regent's office and give back your degree?
Yeah.
Okay? Get back that free education.
That's crazy to me,
from the University of Georgia. And you just go enroll at the U that's what you want to do.
Okay, first of all, that's obscene. I mean, the New York Giants lost to the Washington Redskins, and I screamed out, I'll never watch them again until this Sunday. Like, come on.
Yeah.
You go to Georgia, you're a Georgia fan for life.
You're
that's
a Georgia
insane.
Fan. And I get, like, okay, there's so much that goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Coach Richt is a great man and a father figure.
Yeah. Which I think you need.
You need
totally
that.
You totally need. But at the end of the day, the reason why he gets fired is not because he's not a nice dude and a
Thank
role
you.
Model. Is because of the win column.
Thank you.
And that's it. And I do think 15 years is enough time,
I think so too.
Whether you produce a winner or not. And SEC football, that was really interesting. I remember that because, like, you know, it was probably in the last 5 or 6 years I really started. I always watched the big games, but then I really started kind of learning more and watching more. God, I have no life. But okay. Well, super enjoyable. But I remember that Bama Notre Dame game. The most interesting thing was the Manti Te'o fake girlfriend
because
that was the biggest blowout, and everyone really thought, oh, you know, SEC is going to make a run for its money. And you're like, no, they're just so dominant. And I'm not a. And first of all, I can't stand Alabama. I don't like Nick Saban. I root for everybody, anyone playing Alabama, and. The fact remains that, like, in the top four, let's go into these ranked teams.
Yes.
Which had me basically screaming last week because every time it's like Tuesday at 5 o'clock, a poll will come out that will change within 12 hours. It's mm-hmm, so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at, all right, so we've got Clemson 1, Bama 2.
Bama, Roll Tide.
And then who do we have as 3? Oklahoma.
And then Iowa.
And then Iowa, which could change, right? So
yeah. Iowa will lose to Michigan State. And
you think?
Yeah. I mean, I think Iowa has played a complete...
Above and beyond. But they're
cupcake schedule.
Yeah, and it's not their fault, but it doesn't bode well for... I honestly, like, nothing against Iowa. Like, I love when new teams win. I love that they have a total football resurgent. They're like hard-nosed football. And if I'm picking one game to watch this weekend... I'm picking the Iowa-Michigan
really?
State game just to watch.
Snooze fest.
Because I want to know. I want to. I'm sort of like, I don't know. I like Michigan State. And I kind of want them to win, but then they kind of win a lot. And I'm like, it would kind of be like fun for Iowa to kind of almost come out of nowhere, even though they have a substantial football program every year. But, I mean, there's three games to me.
Yeah.
Stanford-USC is going to be awesome.
Yes.
Dying to kind of figure out to see what happens in that game. Michigan State, Iowa. But I think these are the games with the most consequence. But I also think the sort of dark horse is the Clemson North Carolina game.
I agree with
you. What if North Carolina wins?
Well, if North Carolina wins, obviously Clemson would drop out of the top four. Therefore,
I don't think so.
You cannot lose. Okay.
But North Carolina's 10.
They're 10, but. Of course, there's so many contingencies, but let's say Clemson lost to North Carolina. Then you have to remember the CFP committee and just fans in general are dying for Ohio State to jump back in it.
Ugh.
So any excuse for Ohio State to make a reappearance into the top four, that there you go. There's your reason.
Clemson I don't think loses. They're going to put – but the thing is, if Clemson loses, I'm not saying that's not going to happen – but they'll only have one loss. Oklahoma has a loss. Michigan mm-hmm. State has a loss.
Bama has a loss.
Bama has a loss. Iowa and Clemson are the only undefeated teams. Asterisk because to Iowa because their schedule isn't the greatest.
Asterisk, yes.
But if Michigan State, there's so many different factors. But you know what would be interesting? If Iowa beats Michigan State, right?
If Iowa
beats Michigan State and Clemson loses,
mm-hmm.
Is there going to be a battle between Michigan State and Clemson?
No. If Iowa beat Michigan State, which it won't happen, but whatever, you know, for shits and giggles, we'll play along.
Yeah.
Iowa beats Michigan State, Clemson loses to UNC. Then you would have, considering that Bama would win, of course, Oklahoma doesn't have a Big 12 championship. You have Oklahoma and Bama 1 and 2. You have, or maybe you would have Iowa. You have Iowa 1, Bama, Oklahoma 2 or 3, and then Notre Dame or Ohio State.
Interesting. So you think Clemson's just totally out if they lose?
I
don't know.
I think so. I think so because Clemson doesn't have, I mean, even though they do have somewhat of a legacy of having a strong college football program, they're not a Texas, an Oklahoma, an Ohio State. They're not they're not going to get the legacy points that an Oklahoma would.
This is so crazy because now I'm on another website. I'm on I don't know. I just Googled NCAA football subdivision, and Clemson is one, and they have North Carolina at 8. But another poll has North Carolina at 10.
Yeah,
this is what
the CFP
drives me effing insane. I talked about, I screamed at this last week, so I'm not going to do it again. But this is what's, I'm like, are they, because Baylor had 10, now Baylor's 12. My sister got a job teaching at Baylor.
Congrats, so
now,
sister.
Now I have to cheer for Baylor, which I'm happy to do, but I just never thought ever I would cheer for a Texas team. So it's going to take me a little while, but they've been kind of fun to cheer for. But like, I don't know. Let's say numbers aside, it is going to be interesting to see. There's so many factors, right?
There like are.
The eyeball test and the strength. It's so crazy. I'd like to see them open it up to 16.
See, I would not like that.
No?
In a perfect world, I would love to see 8 or 10 teams. But let me tell you why I don't like it. I was a majorette at the University of Georgia.
Love this!
Which means I was in the band. And I was also the captain of the basketball dance team. So from football season through basketball season, I was going from practice to games. And sometimes I would go from band practice to a basketball performance. And I'm just on the dance team.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the turmoil, I say, or the scheduling conflicts that these football players who go to school would have if we added another 2 or 3 games? Like, it's already bad enough that they're in, you know, in training and in camps and in practice and in 2-a-days literally the entire year. They can't have jobs. They don't have lives. Of course, the trade-off is a free education. I get that. Mm. But you add another 2 or 3 or 4 games to, you know, to make it a 10-team playoff. Then when are their kids going to have a Christmas break? When are they going to be able to study for their finals?
Yeah, well, I think studying for our finals is irrelevant at this point. But I do think, like, around Thanksgiving, basically, then they'll have the weekend after Thanksgiving, they have the championship weekend, or whether the conference championship. And then the next game is until, like, January 10th. And I'm like, I could squeeze one more in and make it 6 teams. I just, you know what it is at the end of the day? First of all, happy for 4, because the 2 was insane. And now that I watch a lot more college football, I keep going, I can't believe that actually ever existed. Because it's so insane how you can, when you watch more and more college football, and I'm coming at this as, you know, just maybe 4 years in, and people have 50 years of watching college football. But it is so expansive. There's so many divisions, right? Conferences. So judging a Stanford winning the Pac-12, right, versus an Oklahoma, versus a Notre Dame that doesn't even have a conference, like, that is so difficult. It's so difficult. And I'm not, you know what I mean? And then you've got Ohio State, who is killing it, and then they drop a big game, and they're on the outside looking in. So you're like, wait, is Ohio State with 1 win better than an Iowa that's undefeated? I don't know how you do it. I think it's so difficult.
It is very difficult, but do you see how it's problematic? Even with the BCS, when we only had 2 teams at the end of the year based on the computer system, people complain. People are now complaining. Ohio State
losing. They'll complain if it's 6, they'll complain if it's 8. That's a good point.
So everyone just live with it and go get your popcorn and watch you a good football game. Okay. Including you, Aaron.
No, I'm all in. Now I'm like, oh God, I'm hooked.
I've got a radical idea.
What's that?
I don't watch college football at all.
Oh my
I don't care.
God.
But March Madness is huge, right?
Yeah.
64 team playoff.
Yeah.
You cannot.
Yeah.
You cannot. That's funny though, Aaron.
Let's do it.
I want the top 20 teams to keep playing through the spring. No, yeah, you're right, because like then you look at 4 and then you go, oh God, heartbreak for 5th, heartbreak for 6th. And then you think, well, we had what, 4, I don't know how many years, a gazillion years. That's what the number I come up with when
gazillion.
I don't know, factual checking anything.
I think the BCS started in 98, I think.
90s? 90, late 90s?
I think it was 1998.
And that's when they
that's when the BCS era began.
Okay.
I'll look it up just to be sure, but I'm pretty sure that Tennessee won the first BCS.
Carol, get up.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Carol. Carol. How is she?
Well, the movie Carol, based on my
assistant, right?
Assistant.
Wasn't that your
just
assistant?
Won New York Film Critic Award, starring Cate Blanchett playing Carol, my fake assistant. So congratulations to all the Carols.
Yes, 1998.
98, Erica nailing it.
Don't ever.
Carol just passed back out, which she just said to me, Erica's got this, and now she's back taking a nap.
See?
Well, she just she went to a film critic party last night.
Yep, she did.
So she's super hungover.
At the improv. Okay.
I just want to know. I just want to know what is going to happen. Listen, I don't want Clemson to lose. I want them to win. Mm-hmm. They've had a great season. But that to me would be so fucking interesting. If Clemson craps the bed, what will happen?
If Clemson craps the bed, they will move out of the top four, and that will be the end of their college football playoff hopes for the year.
So you think a Clemson, a one loss Clemson,
yes,
will get booted out over? I guess so. Then it would be, let's say everybody else wins. So Oklahoma okay. one loss,
Oklahoma.
Alabama one loss. Michigan State, let's say they win, one loss. And the fourth one wouldn't go Clemson, one loss?
No, because Notre Dame has, what, one loss, right?
Two.
Oh, they lost to Stanford.
And to Clemson.
Okay, that's a tough one then.
Yeah.
Okay, well then I'm still sticking with Ohio State.
So Ohio State
would go to
jumps.
Four. I would say they would jump because Ohio State, they're the reigning champions.
Yeah.
You know, like
so Ohio State, one loss, right?
One
Ohio
loss State, to one Michigan loss State 2 weeks ago.
To Michigan State.
Yeah.
Would top Clemson over one loss.
Because.
And Iowa over one loss.
Don't even talk about
so
Iowa.
Like, really? Can we? Erica hates Iowa. She hates the state of Iowa.
Can we just remove Iowa from our vocabulary?
I love that they're undefeated at number four and you're already like, they're out. They're out.
They're done. It's like, it's the biggest joke. Ha ha. Thanks for making me laugh, Erin. You are a comedian. That was good.
That's so interesting that you're so anti-Iowa. That's hilarious. We'll see. Listen, we'll see. I mean, it's going to be fun. I'm going to watch the games. I think it'll probably, I think Clemson wins. I think Alabama wins.
Yeah.
I think Oklahoma, well, they're playing some fluff team, wins.
And they don't have a conference championship.
Yeah. And I think Michigan State beats Iowa.
Yeah.
And there's your four. And there's your four. And you know who I don't want to play? Alabama. I just think, oh God,
Bam.
Alabama's going to win the whole freaking thing.
Roll Tide, roll. That's how we do.
Wait. That sounded like you were positive for Alabama.
I am.
I thought that's like your mortal enemy.
I mean, in the South, well, at University of Georgia, we're taught during freshman orientation that you hate orange. So you hate Tennessee.
Oh.
You hate Florida. Oh, you kind of hate Clemson, not really. And you hate Auburn. Auburn and Georgia is the South's oldest rivalry. But every SEC team hates each other. But because they're SEC West, I personally hate them a little bit less.
Because, I love levels of hatred. It's so true.
You know, like,
I hate the Eagles just a little bit less than the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, so you get it.
That's it.
You get it.
Yeah.
We're on the same page.
Like, Dallas is playing, and this is a perfect transition into NFL. Dallas is playing the Redskins Monday night.
Oh, yeah.
And I literally, as a New York Giants fan, it would just be so much better if Dallas beat Washington for the Giants.
Because they just beat you guys.
I cannot.
Just don't worry about
cheer
it.
Cheer for Dallas.
I'll bring a shot to you.
Of course, it wouldn't matter if my New York football Giants didn't completely. I guess this is it. This is the intro to your Killing Me segment, our new segment where I just scream. I won't scream, but too long of a personal story. I was in San Diego, right, with a friend of mine.
With Erin.
Who's
from San Diego.
I wish. At her dad's friend's man cave. Outdoors, converted garage, four screens. My head almost fell off.
Oh, wow.
Except that most of them were Raiders fans.
Oof.
And I was like, oh, tough. In San Diego.
In San Diego?
I know.
Whoa.
So converted.
They stabbed themselves?
And they got along.
Right.
They got along because they're all buddies. So there was about 15 of them, right? We were the only women. Converted garage. So the Raiders were on one game. They were playing Tennessee. They put the game on for me. I was watching Giants Redskins. And then the other TV was Chargers.
Jacksonville.
Chargers Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, you know, I've been talking about, like, I collect stuff. I've been collecting sporting stuff my whole life to have my future lady sports cave. And so, you know, the typical man cave is just like a dream sequence if it was all New York Giants stuff. It was Raiders stuff, which was hard to get my head around.
Raiders decor is quite unattractive.
And it was
tacky. It's very tacky.
It's all like menacing and like skulls and but nice people. Everyone was super nice.
She's
to
lying.
Us. I mean, because it was my friend's dad, so I think they all had to be nice. And the Chargers fans, I'm just gonna say it's so much more polite and nice than the Raiders fans, but that's okay.
Well, because they don't have any. They don't have any.
They're tough. It's a tough bunch. But here's my favorite. My friend's dad goes, I said, wow, I didn't really see all the Raiders stuff coming. Like, I just assumed this was all Charger land. And I said, there's so much Raiders, you know, there's so many Raider fans. And he goes, well, you know, there's prisons everywhere.
What?
And I was like, okay, that is one of the funniest comments I've ever heard about Raiders fans.
At least he knows.
There's prisons everywhere. I was like, oh my God. So that was a little soundbite that made me laugh.
Thanks, friends, Dad.
But yeah, here's what I have to say about the New York Giants, Washington Redskins game. Embarrassing. It was embarrassing. I pulled out the six games we have left. Our division is so bad.
Yes.
The Dallas Cowboys are horrible.
NFC
the Eagles
least.
Are horrible. NFC least. The Redskins are bad. And you think, okay, at least the Giants are, they're in control. They're in the driver's seat. They have to beat, of the six teams we're playing, the only two games where you think that could go either way, Carolina Panthers and Minnesota Vikings. Mm-hmm. I still think we could beat the Vikings. And I looked at the schedule. We're playing like Dolphins, Jets, Eagles, Redskins, Carolina, and the Vikings, and I thought easily we should go 4-2. We should handle our business and go 5-2. We should go 5-1, but let's just say 4-2, and then we lose to the Redskins.
Yeah,
I mean, it was so bad. The defense made adjustments, got better in the second half, but I couldn't believe how crappy our offense was,
except for that catch.
Well, Odell is special. Throw him every I don't even care. Throw him every. Revis is out. We're playing the Jets on Sunday. Revis is out with a concussion. Mm-hmm. I like Revis. I have a soft spot for the Jets because I'm from New York. But for me, Revis being out, thank God. Like, no. Maybe we do have a chance of winning.
And I have a soft spot for Eli because SEC quarterback.
Ole Miss.
And he's a little brother, and I'm a little sister, and he's a little bit older than I am, but my sister was at Georgia when Peyton was at Tennessee, and then I was at Georgia when Eli was getting ready to finish up at Ole Miss. Whatever, that was way too much information. But that's why I like Eli.
I love Eli.
And I believe in his abilities, and I believe that he, if you had to pick a quarterback to be a dark sheep, X-factor, sleeper pick to get your team barely to the playoffs, and through the playoffs, it would be him.
Yeah. No, he just... The thing is, Eli has been playing really well all year.
Well, that's a stretch.
He's been playing consistent... Like, listen, this is...
Consistently this is slightly above average.
Consistently better. I would say better than average.
Okay.
But boy, did he play like crap on Sunday. Three picks. I mean, but like picks where you're like... Are we colorblind? You're throwing it literally to a red jersey.
Yeah.
It was embarrassing how badly he played, and that. But his interceptions are way down. He threw three, one was a tip ball, but it was just really. And coming off a bye week against the Redskins, you're in control of your own destiny. It was like it was one of those games where I was just like, I don't even know why. Why do I get so worked up? Why do I care so much? The Lions take care of the Eagles on Thanksgiving Day. Carolina takes care of Dallas on Christmas Day. It's like, here's a slice of pie on Thanksgiving.
She's just jumping ahead.
And then we go out and just play horrible. And I couldn't even. I stepped away and I watched most of the Chargers second half.
Oof.
And then I kept going back and forth. Oh.
You got to really be beside yourself if you watch a Chargers football game.
Well, it was a big Chargers party, so I had to.
Oh, you didn't have a choice.
I don't mind the Chargers. The Chargers, I just feel like...
They're like the pansies of the NFL.
They're just like, it's fine. You know what I mean? Phillip Rivers, I like watching him play.
Really?
I don't mind them. I really don't mind them. I kind of feel like absolutely like Switzerland, like completely neutral.
And that is the vibe I get from the Chargers, which is why I don't even waste my time. Like when I see Chargers football on my, and of course I live in Los Angeles. We live in Los Angeles, and I don't have the NFL package at my house.
Yeah.
So I get a lot of Chargers games, and I'm just like, why am I being tortured this way? What did I do in a past life to have to watch San Diego Chargers football games?
They were, it was all right. It was really fun to be around everybody, have three screens going on. I was just absolutely, like, humiliated that I was the Giants fan watching that game.
Oh, man,
it's just like you have the whole thing ready for you, like, gift-wrapped, and they're like, no, I don't feel like showing up. So then I drive back to L.A. Sunday, and I catch second half overtime of Broncos Patriots, and it made up for My horrible Giants. I hate the Patriots. Hate's a strong word. I dislike them with every core of my being.
I'm also a Patriots hater. I was just trying to find the nicest way to say it. Yeah. I'm a Patriots hater. I think that I don't know if they're kind of like their fans are kind of like Lakers fans, just super annoying.
So annoying.
Just very pompous. But I do admire Bill Belichick's genius. Like he's cheating the Aaron.
I don't trust him. I don't trust any. How many stories have to come out of New England? Yes, he's a great coach. And without the cheating stuff, I'd probably say he's the greatest coach maybe of all time.
But here,
Story after story of the cheating, I'm like, does he cheat every year? How much do we don't know about?
I am with you in a sense because I've said the same thing. I'm like, oh, you know, if we know about 5 incidents, then there have to be another 25 that we don't know about.
Yeah.
I just think that they cheat. And they keep getting caught, which could mean that they cheat more than other teams. But the operative phrase here is that they cheat more than other teams, meaning that everyone else cheats. Everyone cheats. Everyone does something in professional and in college sports to have a competitive advantage or to gain a competitive advantage. Bill Belichick is just so smart and so savvy that he's figured out how to do it consistently to get results year after year after year. And something else that I think he does just brilliantly is takes unknown players off the street. And like, I mean, Aaron Foley starting at safety. You know, like, you could be on the
field, I'll give him that.
You know, next on Sunday. Yeah. And I'll be like, who in the hell is this chick?
He's a great coach.
Everybody cheats,
Aaron. He's a great coach.
Get over it.
I can't get over it. Okay. And I'll never get over it. But here's... I think he's an amazing coach because he takes the system just works and he plugs in. And I said this last week. He'll plug in Joe Johnson, who's a fiddle. He plays the fiddle in the off season, and he puts him in. And all of a sudden, Joe Johnson is 800 yards. So I'm not discounting. He's obviously one of the best coaches of all time. I guess I always just go back to the Patriots. St. Louis Rams Super Bowl.
Ooh.
And
was that 90 or what was that?
That was
2000?
No. That was 2001, 2002.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know, like a really long time ago. And I was all in with the Patriots. And I had no feeling for St. Louis. I love Brady. I love this whole growing up in the Northeast after New York, we moved to Rhode Island. Everyone was Patriots, Patriots, mm-hmm. Patriots. And I like bought in. Belichick, you know, had New York Giants ties. And I was so happy when they won. I was like biggest underdog. I was like thrilled. And then a couple of years later, the Spygate with the taping of the practices. And I thought to myself, oh my God, like it was such a David and Goliath Super Bowl, mm-hmm. you know, that I thought, is that how they won? Is that how they won? Did they tape practices? Did they tape this? Did they tape that? Because they knew every St. Louis play.
They
like,
did.
It was uncanny. If you go back and you're like, oh, my God, they stopped him there. How did they know that? Like, St. Louis was just killing everybody. And then, so I feel like, I guess I just feel like I'd been cheated. I guess I just feel like, listen, maybe they didn't, but I was so... I get so like emotionally involved, and I think that's why I have such a bad taste in my mouth.
No,
with the Patriots.
I'm right there with you, Aaron. Like, don't
I feel like
get me
I got
wrong.
Sucker punched.
You did. The entire nation gets sucker punched year.
I know,
after
and
year,
I guess you're right. Everyone does it. I just feel like that was like a punch in my gut, and I can never go back.
Listen, I'm not telling you to be a Patriots fan. Hell, I'm not a Patriots fan either. I just respect the game.
Yeah,
I just respect that to be successful, to be that successful in life in any industry.
I also think they're so, you know, yeah, maybe the, yeah, yeah. I hate it.
Like,
I hate it. And I hate the steroids. I hate the spy. Yeah. I hate all of it.
I bought some steroids on the way over here.
Oh, good.
I love steroids.
It does take everything up a notch, doesn't it? I wonder now, have we seen the last of Peyton Manning? When I was watching I called Duck Rockweiler, he's Brock Osweiler. I'm wondering now what happens. What happens in the next couple weeks? Peyton's foot is off the boot. Mm-hmm. You know, they're playing Chargers this week. They should beat the Chargers. Let's say Osweiler's on a roll. Happens, you know, happened with Brady. That's how he got his
That's
start.
Right.
Do they prop up Peyton? You know, Weekend at Bernie style. What happens with Peyton Manning? Have we seen no more Peyton Manning forever?
I think that the Broncos organization is in the most difficult situation imaginable because unlike Kobe, well, no.
And we'll talk about Kobe.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was going to say unlike Kobe, but shoot, identical to Kobe. Like he has literally fallen apart, fallen to pieces right in front of our eyes. But Kobe knows that his time is up. Peyton does not realize that his time is up. So I think that's what puts the Broncos in a tough situation. I personally, if I were the Broncos organization, I would keep starting Osweiler throughout the rest of the regular season and throughout playoffs. Well, I can't say throughout playoffs because if you play playoffs, you lose the game. That's it.
Yeah.
So I would play Osweiler throughout the rest of the regular season. Personally, that's what I would do.
And then playoff time, put Manning back in?
You know, honestly, even though he has the experience, we all know that Peyton Manning has a playoff curse. So, I mean, he has a playoff curse. I mean, it's tough because he is tenured. And even though he might go out there and lay an egg in playoffs, he still is Peyton Manning. We still revere him because he is a legend.
Well, he's one of the greatest of all time. And I wouldn't say a playoff curse. I mean, he's lost some tough ones, but he's also playing, you know, the throw against the Ravens. That'll probably haunt him for a long time. But he's also up against the Patriots every year. But I don't know. It's very difficult. Like, if we're thinking this, God knows what they're thinking. But, you know, if I guess it just depends. It depends on Osweiler. It depends on Peyton's health. It depends on Peyton's practices. You know, do they have a rapport with these receivers with Osweiler? I don't know how you can. It's very difficult, I think, to bench a healthy Peyton Manning. I think it's extremely difficult.
See, there's no such thing anymore, Aaron, as a healthy Peyton Manning.
It depends. What I'm saying is, like, if he's fully recovered in, let's say, 3 weeks, we have 6 weeks left, you know, a healthy Peyton Manning, I think you pick over probably anybody. But, you know, I don't know. We can totally agree to disagree.
We disagree.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, you know, it's interesting because then you go team momentum. Osweiler's got, you know, I'm just saying I have no idea what you do. It's really difficult. I mean, I also have, you know, I've cheered for him forever. I love him. I want to see him go out on top. You know, is that what's best for the team? I have no idea. It really honestly depends on his health. And it seems like multiple injuries now. And it just would be sad. It would be sad. It's hard to compare it with the Kobe thing because I think Peyton definitely knows his body is just breaking down, and I think this is his last season.
Well, no, because recently, I think this week he said that he intends to play another year of football even if it's not with the Broncos. So he doesn't know.
Like, oh, I did not read that.
Yeah,
okay.
He has. Kobe is showing us in the past several weeks that he has a certain sense of self-awareness that a lot of us didn't think he had. I really thought that Kobe would try to play another year. I didn't think that Kobe was going to announce his retirement so early into this season.
Well, he had to.
That's what I'm saying about Peyton.
He had to because he's playing so miserably.
And that's exactly what that's my point about Peyton. He is playing so miserable. Peyton is doing so horrifically. How could he not?
I don't think Peyton is. I don't.
He's my fantasy quarterback. Let me show you his numbers.
I know, but before he went out, I'm not saying he's having the greatest season, but they're seven. What is their record? 8-3.
I think they lost two games. Yeah,
you know what I mean. So I don't. I think he was. I think he was playing rather well with the Broncos, and then started to get injured, and now he's completely out. But
See, I think their defense was what was holding them together. I don't think Peyton was that glue. He can't feel his fingers. He can't throw the bombs down the field like he used to do.
Yeah. His play is obviously diminished. If I was Peyton, I'd be like, this is it. Like I wouldn't say anything right now because he wants to. He's a professional. He's at the top of the, like he wants to get back on the field.
Yeah.
So I don't think you ever would say right now this is my last season. It's such a precarious position to be in anyway with all these injuries. He's just trying to get back, get healthy, get back on the field. But he's obviously has, I'm sure, numerous come to Jesus moments with himself of like, I can't physically do it anymore. I hope I get a shot later in the season in the playoffs because and also, can you imagine, right? You're Peyton Manning, right? So let's say maybe he doesn't get back. Let's say they go Osweiler,
ooh,
right?
Yeah.
But he feels like by the end of this year, he rehabs. This is just a scenario.
Okay.
Let's say he feels completely fine, mm-hmm. and he's got another year. I certainly don't blame him for coming back and trying, because you love the game so much. Like, oh my God, can you imagine doing something you love your entire life and then having to give it up when you feel like, I think I've got one more push? I would say go. I mean, I don't blame him. I mean, Kobe literally has been playing so bad, and physically he can barely get through the game.
Yeah.
He played well in Washington last night. He had 30 points. The night before, he was like 2 of 89, and it was so bad that you're like, and now the team, the Lakers team around him is like, fuck you, because Kobe, the knock on Kobe for his entire career, and he's one of the best of the best, is how many shots do you have to take? That has been his knock from day one. So now he's taking 80 shots and making 2. And everyone's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
His teammates are like, I hate you.
Yeah.
I hate you.
Yeah.
So he has to retire. he has to. Because how many sports programs have you watched where every announcer literally, because, you know, if you're being paid by Disney and you're on ESPN, you can't be like, you have to sort of do middle of the road
with Kobe?
I think with everything, like, you can't, you know, you have your opinions, but you're also getting a paycheck by Disney.
True.
Right? So, but I didn't think we'd ever come to a time where every announcer is like, he's the worst. I can't watch him play.
Yeah,
like,
it's pretty bad.
I would say sad, but I've never liked him and I never will like him. So I find the whole thing, I honestly have nothing good to say except for he's one of the best of all time. And I'll give you that. But I have never liked him. I've been groomed as a New Yorker to hate the Lakers since day one.
Oh, good for you.
So I have nothing nice to say about Kobe Bryant other than he's amazing on the basketball court.
I don't want to see him get the Mariano Rivera treatment.
No.
Like, he's never been that good a guy.
He's a horrible man.
Wait a second. Wait, so what is his character assassination on Kobe?
The rape?
Well, oh my, okay, so listen, here's the thing. Do we
I'll start with that and his arrogance.
He is arrogant, but do we know that he in fact raped this young lady?
Oh, come on. I'm not going down that
road. I'm just saying, I'm being adversarial here. But do we,
as a woman, when those stories come out and the charges and all and the trial, and then all of a sudden, you know, they opt out for no guilt, I'm not going to sit here and say, okay, maybe yes, maybe no. It looked about 90% like that did happen, and it was so, and then he just like dismisses it, and I can't.
Okay,
I'm sorry, there's so many other players that did not have any of that happen that I'm never going to cheer for him. But I wasn't a fan before.
No, listen,
so
I'm an 80s/90s baby. So I grew up loving Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And yes, Kobe has some huge blemishes on his record. I don't even know what I'm saying.
I'm not a fan and I never will be, but I'm never going to sit here and say he's not one of the greatest. I'm never going to sit here and say in his prime, he was a beautiful player to watch.
Oh, yeah, God, yes.
I mean,
yes.
You also have to love the style. I think the overshooting was just, ugh, the arrogance. I'm not a Laker fan. So, you know what I mean? So
you hate him. You hate him. It's okay.
I just, you know.
Kobe, if you're listening.
He's just not. Happy that he's at peace with his retirement, because I don't want to see him ever again.
This is funny.
But, you know, if you're obviously in his heyday as a Lakers fan, of course you'd love him. It's one of those people that you have on your team and you'd have to sort of make your own peace around him. If I was born and bred in L.A. and he's your player, it's like Gronk.
Gronk.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't stand Gronk, but do I want him on my team? Oh, my God,
yes.
Of
course, yeah.
You know what I mean? Everybody has that in every team. Like, A-Rod as a Yankees. Oh, God, I can't stand A-Rod. And he's my third baseman, and I'm like, oh, it's been awful.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, like, I'm not going to not cheer when he gets a home run.
Hell no, yeah.
Because I'm a Yankees fan since I was 5. You know what I mean? It's like one of those things. Ugh. But it is, I hate bad behavior.
Okay.
And there's so much of it, which is just, and then we'll just touch on this and we'll make some NFL picks. Since we're in the NBA realm, the Okafor.
Oh, yeah. Jahlil Okafor.
It's Fight Club. It is. It's really, you know what I mean? Like, we were talking about this right before we went on air. It's like, you give a 19-year-old a bag of money.
Yeah.
You're in the worst NBA team maybe of all time. Two wins? And because they just beat, the Lakers. No, one win.
That was their first win this season. Yeah.
Oh,
Jahlil Okafor.
I hope he gets it together. Please get it together.
I mean, they suspended him for 2 games. I liken this to all of us, you know, have had experiences in college. I've never been in a fight, but I've done some, you know, I did some pretty seedy stuff in college. You know, I mean, whether it was driving when I shouldn't have been driving, you know, pissing on the Myers quad after my freshman final.
Yes.
I did.
Pissing on the quad, Erica Davis.
So, I mean, what if a campus cop had caught me pissing on the quad at 19 years old after my freshman finals?
Yeah.
You know, he's 19 years old.
Yeah.
And we give these 18, 19-year-olds this money, this fame, this responsibility, but are we really giving them the guidance to prepare themselves for this life they've never had? I don't care how big of a man you are on campus.
Yeah.
When you are given millions and millions of dollars and you're set to live out on your own.
Yeah.
In a new city with new people and new friends and new opportunities. Now, listen, yeah. I'm not making excuses for him, but I think that people get on their high horses and forget we were all once 19-year-old kids who got drunk or who got irritated. And a lot of these dudes who watch sports were 19-year-old kids who got in fights at bars.
Yeah, yeah.
So chill out, guys.
He needs a mentor real quick. They're sending him out with a security
guard.
They
are giving him security, yeah.
They got to do something because it is though surprising because two fights and then 108 miles an hour I can get my head around. One fight maybe, but two fights, street fights, yeah. One of them had a gun to his head. You're like, are you Boston and Philly? Those aren't, no. Mm. That's like, listen, I can understand like bag of money, women drinking, but okay, that is hard enough to get you. But like the street fighting, like they literally, it's like street, the title of the articles are like street fighting.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's not great.
It's,
I'm cheering for him. I want like, what is it? We're like Duke, like shining example of
a
human.
He's a
and
good
now
guy.
You're like, whoa.
Yeah. Like,
I don't know.
Coach K came out and said that he is one of the greatest kids ever.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 19.
It is. Mentor. You know, I know they're saying like there's absolutely no veteran leadership on the 76ers.
Yeah.
And well, is that the answer? Well, I think it's part of it. I think I'm not saying like an older dude who's probably like 30 isn't like, let's stay at home and not go out. Obviously, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But I do think at the end of the day, like the 76ers organization, I'm sorry, is a shithole.
It is a
hot mess. That GM is pathetic. It's like a culture of losing to acquire more and more draft picks. That certainly, I think they have a windfall maybe next year. I don't know. It's so bad.
It's awful. And the fact that they have such poor leadership from the top to the bottom.
From the top to the bottom.
He's out there on his own.
Yeah. And he shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I think all of them. I always say this too about NFL guys. Like you have all these heroes of the NFL in the 60s, 70s, and 80s that were paid $1.50.
Mm-hmm.
And you have all these out of control kids now. There should be a mentorship where they hire these older NFL dudes and say, here's your three. Employ them, insurance, mental health, take care of, it's like veterans. It's like, you know, like take care of these young guys by using these older guys that were not treated well, not paid enough, and, you know, and then bring them back into the fold.
I like that idea, actually. That's actually a genius idea. I think that you should pitch that to the NFL. I mean, NFL Players Association.
It's ridiculous. You've got, you know, like, whatever. It's stupid. It's an easy fix, but what is it? What is the NFL? Gazillion, right?
Gazillion.
Erica?
Berillion.
Berillion.
Yep.
Let's do picks.
Picks.
Thursday Night Football tonight, Green Bay Packers at Detroit Lions.
I'm going to go Lions by...
You're going Lions!
Right, by a touchdown.
By a touchdown.
Lions by... I got to remember these picks.
Okay, I'm going to put your initials next to the team. I'm going to go Green Bay, but I tell you, I think it's going to be close, and I wouldn't be entirely surprised. The Lions have won 3 in a row, so I went to Lambeau Field for the first time a couple weeks ago.
Lambeau leaping.
I saw the Detroit Lions playing Green Bay. They had never won since 1991, and they won.
Yeah.
And they won.
That's That's a memory that you can hold to your heart.
I would like to say, dear Detroit, thank you for beating Philly, killing Philly on Thanksgiving. Yes. It made my Thanksgiving so much more fun. I'm still going with Green Bay, but I think it's going to be a tight game. Houston Texans at Buffalo Bills. Interesting game.
I'm going to go Bills.
I think Houston's on a roll and they do the big upset.
Ooh, okay.
But
Yates.
Buffalo will probably win. San Francisco 49ers at Chicago Bears.
The Bears.
Bears.
The Bears.
Baltimore Ravens at Miami.
Miami. I mean, yeah, Dolphins. Dolphins. Yeah, that is a snooze fest.
I think with Flacco out with the knee injury, Miami gets it done. Seattle Seahawks at Minnesota Vikings. This is going to be one of the games I will watch.
I want to say Seahawks.
I'm going to go... I don't know. God, that is a tough one, right? I mean, Minnesota's just handling their business.
They are, but...
But Seahawks, I feel like, are poised for a run. I'm going Seahawks.
Okay.
Were you going Seahawks?
I think I said Seahawks.
I think you did. Jets at Giants.
Let's go Giants.
Let's
Come
go
on,
Giants.
Let's go Coughlin.
I swear to Christ, if you lose, I'll watch you the following week even more angrier. Arizona Cardinals at St. Louis Rams.
Ooh. Oh, the Cardinals.
Cardinals.
Duh. Yeah.
What do you think about, let's pause, what do you think about the Cardinals? Do you think it's going to be like Cardinals-Panthers NFC title
Ooh,
game?
NFC championship. I can't think that far in advance.
I think the Cardinals are the real deal.
Oh, I think the Panthers are the real deal.
Panthers. I'm excited for the Panthers. Atlanta Falcons, Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay.
I hate both teams. Okay. Tampa Bay. Jacksonville at Tennessee. Oh my god. Do they have to play this? Every week I'm like, is that
I'm
game count?
I'm going to say Tennessee.
I'll go Tennessee because it's at home.
I'm trying to keep up with this.
Jacksonville looked surprisingly good last week, though. Kansas City Chiefs at Oakland Raiders.
Ooh, I'm going to go Oakland.
I'm going Kansas City. Oakland, the fans were so funny because they barely squeaked by Tennessee, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they have a lot of good players. I think they're in a position better than ever. But, you know, they squeaked by Tennessee. And all these dudes were, like, so fired up. They're like, okay, it was good. The defense won that for us. You know, we got to get our offense straightened out. And I realized everyone talks the same way about the team they're passionate for. Mm-hmm. It was pretty awesome. And then they go, we're going to run the table. We got to run the table for the rest of the season to get the wild card. And I thought, wow, that is some blind optimism. But, you know, when you're a fan, you're a fan. Denver Broncos at San Diego Chargers.
Broncos, Broncos, Broncos.
Broncos. Eagles at New England.
I was going to say, whoever's playing the Eagles, okay?
You already started shaking your head when I said the Eagles.
Yes. Okay.
Pats.
Yep.
Both of us. Carolina at New Orleans Saints.
Carolina. North Carolina.
Are they going to run the table?
I hope not.
I don't think they will.
I mean, I hope they win it all, but I don't want them to have a perfect season.
I don't want that. I never like perfect seasons. Yeah. I like this Carolina team.
You know what they might do? They're 11-0. What they might do as it gets closer, like once they lock up their seed, they might start resting players, so they might start losing games.
Yeah.
So.
I think the Giants are going to beat Carolina.
Oof.
That's my bold. We play
crazy,
horrible. We
crazy, play horrible. Crazy.
We play horrible against crappy teams, and then we play awesome against awesome teams. It's my bold NFL prediction. We're not even playing this week.
Yeah.
Colts at Steelers.
Colts.
Sunday night football.
Colts.
Colts beating the Steelers.
Yeah, with Matthew, with Hasselbeck.
You know what? I'm going with the Colts.
Yeah.
Is Big Ben, I think he's cleared to
he's played,
got a little cobweb issue.
He played full contact yesterday.
So that was a big story. We'll just do it for 1 second because we got one quick story and then feel good moment of the week. That Big Ben, out of one of the, arguably, the toughest, second,
the toughest,
I don't know, the toughest football player in the NFL was like, it was a concussion. And I thought the first time I've ever thought, I'm not coming back in because I have a family and I want to know what they look like in 20 years. And I thought that was great.
That's major.
I thought that was really good
because
you get, you know, especially from Big Ben, who's so unlikable. But what I like about him was I think he can set a really good precedent for these NFL players taking care of themselves.
Oh, I agree.
It's like total self-care. You know what? I don't want to wind up with brain injuries. I don't have to be the toughest man. If I'm feeling like I seriously have a concussion, I am not going to play.
And we're not going to make the playoffs probably. So let me just go ahead and
applaud that decision.
Take a knee on this one.
And I think he could be a really good spokesman for that.
He's still the guy who crashed his motorcycle without a helmet.
Yep. Yeah. And did a little manhandling of women in the offseason. I can't stand him.
Yep.
Dallas at Washington.
Let's go Kirk Cousins. Let's go Redskins.
I'm going to say Redskins, but I want both of them to
lose. HGTR.
Those are the picks. Nice. That's always fun. I love doing
that
picks.
Is fun.
All right. I think I had one more story before Feel Good Moment of the Week, but we might just jump. Oh, I did want to do this shout out. This is also a season where it gets really heavy into dudes playing sports. But I do always want to say this. ESPNW, one of my ultimate favorite websites, just geared for women's sports. They do men's sports as well, but they really give a shout out. And this time of year, because there's no professional women's sports, they really start highlighting all kinds of women's collegiate sports, which is the only thing we can watch basically until I don't know, the WNBA and the Olympics.
Yeah.
Like it's really awful that there aren't more female professional sports. So they'll do collegiate volleyball. They'll do women's collegiate basketball, which is one of my absolute favorite things to watch. They'll do soccer stories. They're really great if you're a fan of women's sports and this is like the start of the drought where there's not a lot. But I always say women's college basketball. And also ESPN has been airing a lot of Monday night games which will be starting throughout the year. Really good matchups. Tennessee, South Carolina, Duke, UConn,
oh, yeah.
Stanford, lots of good. So go if you're kind of jonesing for women's sports and women's news about athletes. ESPNW is such a great source. And I also consistently get the Feel Good Moment of the Week from ESPN. Also, I forgot to do this, which I'm going to get better at the iTunes. If you go on iTunes, Sports Without Balls on iTunes, and you leave a 5-star review, I will say it on air. And I'm probably not prepared this week to do it, so I will do two of them next week. Sports Without Balls Now show, Sports Without Balls show is the website. And you can go on, you can email me through Sports Without Balls website. So I think that's it. I think we probably, because we did NBA, we did ladies shout out, we did football, Feel Good Moment of the Week, which I forgot to send to you.
Oh, it's okay. Tell me, what is it?
Because I just kind of discovered it. You know, especially, and I think it's so doubly like the perfect timing for this story because of constant disgusting shootings and mental health issues. And so this is a really great story. And it's Shamika Hulsklaw, who's one of my all-time favorite basketball players. She played at Tennessee. And that was a time in my life where I just couldn't stand Tennessee because they were constantly beating UConn. And then went out, had like a storied WNBA career. And she's retired. And she has come out with this before. She had struggled with mental health issues her entire life. Was diagnosed with being bipolar, and she said it was such a stigma and such a taboo. And so she is now coming out as a mental health advocate and is doing speaking throughout the country on mental health issues, dealing with athletes, just making it more, I don't know, just okay to talk about, which is pretty amazing. And so she's got this new film coming out, documentary called Mind/Game, The Unquiet Journey of Shamika Hulsklaw, and her battle with mental illness, which would eventually trump any opponent she would ever face on the hardwood. And it's really great. So look for this documentary that's coming out. It has her journey dealing with mental health issues, her transition from being a collegiate athlete to a pro athlete, and her having it to hide it at times. And now I think, you know, it's so wonderful because now it's out. She gets to talk about it and help people. And that's
major. Bring
so
it to the
major.
Forefront. Yeah. Bring that to the forefront.
It's also probably really scary. And now she's doing it. And she also was saying that I'll just give you a couple sound bites. In the film Mind/Game, she explains how basketball was once her coping mechanism that has since replaced with a strict routine of eating healthy, exercising daily, quiet time and meditation. Nowadays, Queens, New York native is traveling the country to advocate or to advocate for mental health awareness and dispel myths along the way, which is so feel good and so needed. I was also talking about this. Most insurance policies, if you're lucky enough to be on insurance, and thank you for Obamacare, no mental health. It's just not on. I don't know if I'm coming up with this number correctly. I've had good insurance, knock on wood, throughout my life. None of it
covers mental
health. How can you not cover mental health?
And this is
at a time, especially this time.
I was going to be like, oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable. And this is a great quote to
write
your
local congressman.
Yeah, I mean, it's disgusting. Yeah. Good insurance doesn't cover mental health. Obamacare doesn't cover mental health. And they say they're working on it. I mean, they have tons of stuff to work on, but I'm lucky that everyone has that. I have it for the first time in my life, and I'm extremely grateful. Yeah. So this is a great quote from Holzclaw. She said, if it wasn't for sports, people may not have been able to see my struggle. I've lived this life publicly. Just to know now that I'm saving lives and advocating for such a great cause, it makes me feel like I'm hitting game-winning shots all day, every day. So awesome.
I like that.
So thank you to Shamika Holzclaw for doing this and sharing your story and helping people and talking to all these young people that are looking up to her, male, female, that could be struggling and say, oh, my God, she's doing this. She's done this. I can do it. I can deal with this. And I can reach out and get help. So great.
Feel good.
Feel good. It is a feel good moment of the week. And I love leaving all episodes with feel good moment of the week. Erica, you're super awesome. And you're just going to be coming on more and more.
I'm going to come. We've been saying this for like a year. But
this is ridiculous.
This is this timeline. This is like for real, for real.
This is for real, for real.
I'll be back.
Can you briefly talk about your show and where people can find you and all good things, Erica?
Yeah. I in addition to being a fabulous actress.
You are.
I host and produce a sports show called The Morning Score that broadcast on UB, as in broadcast, ubnradio.com. And we broadcast live every other Wednesday at 10 a.m. That's awesome.
Fantastic.
It's so much fun. You know, we get down to the nitty gritty, the facts, stats, and analysis. And then I also host a show for AfterBuzz TV. It's another sports show called The Branded Athlete. So check that out on BHL Online, The Branded Athlete.
The Branded Athlete and UBNRadio.com.
Well, The Morning Score on UBN.
The Morning Score on UBN.
And then The Branded Athlete on BHL.
Oh, my God. Sports fans, go find her. She's talking sports nonstop.
And you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram and on Periscope and on Snapchat at Erica, E-R-I-C-A, Renee, D, R-E-N-E-E.
All right. And we'll link that when this episode airs tomorrow. We didn't even touch upon David Price's $280 million Red Sox contract. We'll do some baseball next week. I have saturated the market with my other 50 prior sports guests. Go on iTunes, Sports Without Balls fans. It's sportswithoutballsshow.com. I will link that to everything. Check that out. It's got all these episodes, and you can write to me through the website. They're going to put, I think in the next week, a little thing where you can click on and make a donation if you feel like, just chipping in for Sports Without Balls. Go to iTunes, leave us a review. I will be at Cap City Comedy Club in Austin, Texas. I cannot wait. Wednesday, December 16th through Saturday, December 19th. That'll be on AaronKFoley.com or Cap City. I think it's like CapCityComedy.com. I love Austin. I cannot wait to come back and do shows there. And then I'll be in L.A. most of December and most of January on AaronKFoley.com. All kinds of shows. And write to me. Tweet at me if you want to hear something particular, if you want me to do more of this sport or shout outs to other sports or just crazy stories. I will collect all of that and we will rock it out. Aaron, thank you so much.
Go Cards. Sign Hayward already.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Don't be a freaking Anaheim Angel, Hayward. Ugh. As much as I'm not even a Cards fan, I'd rather have Hayward stay put than go to Angels.
Los Angeles Angels.
All right. We'll do more baseball next week. Thank you to All Things Comedy. Thank you to Erica. Thank you to Aaron. You guys are awesome.
Thanks,
it's been
for
such a
me.
Pleasure. Go follow Erica Davis. She talks so much sports. It's so awesome. Ladies. Sports Without Balls fans, have the best week of your life. Sports Without Balls fans, it's Aaron Foley. I've got some exciting news. Do you want to hear your name on air? I mean, come on. Who doesn't? Go on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review telling us what you love about the show, and I'll read it on air. It's that simple. Go do it now.